I'll be reading from 1 John, the letter, the epistle of John tonight, 1 John. But before I even begin, I tried to allude to this morning, but as we sing these songs and we think about the world and its thoughts of Christmas, you know, I see the stories and I agree with our fellow brothers and sisters who are having their, in various places every year, their right as Americans to celebrate Christmas and the different, all the different, you know, lawsuits that begin to come up that you, for posters being taken down and this and that and the other. And I feel for them, and I think it's appropriate to seek that. They ought to be able to do it. But yet we can, even believers can get lost if we're just looking at the news reports of those who have to take down their Peanuts poster that has the quote from Luke that Linus gave, or other things. That Jesus came for sinners, to save us. He's the one who was born to die, like the hymn we just sang. Spear shall pierce him through. The cross born for me and you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Well, that actually leads us into the thoughts of 1 John. I decided that for this evening, for this meditation, I could both relate it to the purpose of the evening, but also to our morning services, our thoughts from John. He, in writing his letter, it's the same person. Obviously, he says some of the same things. Again, now he's writing to a particular group of Christians with his instructions for them. I'm going to read 1 John 1:1 through chapter 2, verse 2a, just the first part of verse 2. I'm going to read this all. The sermon will not be in proportion to the number of verses that I'm about to read, but I'll just say this even before I read it. The older I get, there's different parts of Scripture that really help me. And I hope it's maturity. I hope it's maybe even that, the devil sees worth to come after me, that maybe the Lord is actually using me, that the older I get, I still find my, you know, your faith tested in different ways, from different directions. And I love that God gives us verses like this, where witnesses who are there tell us about Jesus. That's what John's going to do here. This is God's word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. Let's pray. Lord, as we think on these holy thoughts, your word, write them upon our hearts. Apply this into our lives. We thank you for your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, since this is a communion service, a service of the Lord's Supper, I'll let the sort of divide the text in a way that'll help us start thinking about the table. We have the bread and the cup. The bread representing his body given for us, the blood, the juice or wine. The cup representing his blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sin. Why don't we think about the first four verses? We'll sort of think about the body of Christ given for us, and then five and following, we'll let that think about the blood shed for us. But even as way of introducing the wonder of this text, we have John, the one he tells us in his gospel, referring to himself, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who supped right next to him there, reclining at the table with him. And we're told he saw this, verse 1, with his own eyes. The witness he's given to us, he saw Jesus with his own eyes. He touched him with his own hands. Now God tells us, Jesus told them it'd be better when he was gone and the Holy Spirit would come. And we take him at his word. But it's still remarkable to think about that John saw him and touched him and heard him preach and teach. He's an eye, ear, and hand witness of the Lord. And he says, I was there from the beginning. In this case, we're not talking about the beginning of time, we're talking about the beginning of the gospel. John was there when Jesus began preaching. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We've seen it, we've touched it, we've heard it. The word of life. The word of life. Eternal life has been proclaimed. This life, this eternal life, is in him. And that's the good news. We've seen him. The one in whom is eternal life. Well, in terms of his body given for us, I would simply say here in these first four verses, we see that he's real. Jesus is real, a real person. He wasn't just a spirit. He was a real person. He is a real person. He even now has a body in heaven at the right hand of the Father that will return. We'll see more about that body, glorified body, at the end of John's gospel. He's come to rescue us, to give us eternal life, those of us who are perishing in our sins. We proclaim to you the eternal life. I'm in verse 2. Now it was with the Father, and it's now been made manifest to us. He can't help but say it again. That which we've seen and heard, we now proclaim to you. And why does he do this? Well, the same reason that we're partaking of the bread and the cup tonight, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the koinonia, the sharing. John's given us this eyewitness testimony of the eternal life that's come in Christ, that we may have koinonia, fellowship with, in some way, spiritually, with all the saints who've gone before us, that being John as well. But in particular with the Father and the Son, of course, through the work of the Spirit, sharing in the life of the Holy Trinity, their perfect communion offered for us to share with. That's what we receive by faith when we partake of the bread and of the cup. Do you desire life this evening? Do you desire fellowship? He goes even further. He says, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. I know that if you look, some manuscripts say ours, some say your. I'm going to kind of take it both ways. He's saying our joy, meaning him as the writer, but he's writing it to us so that we may share his joy, so it's the collective our, all of us together. Our joy. There is joy in the Christmas season. It's the joy that Christ has come to grant us fellowship with him, a sharing with him. What better thing could we have but fellowship with God? But then he begins to describe God. And again, he uses similar words. Now this, he's talking about Jesus in the gospel. Now he's referring, I think, more particularly to the Father. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in a moment, you're going to see he immediately moves to helping us deal with forgiveness of sins, because the fact is, if God is light, we are referring to God's perfection, his holiness, his moral purity. He's morally pure. He's spiritually perfect, morally excellent, utterly transcendent. And this is the one we're being offered fellowship with. The heavenly light. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Then he describes our relationship with that. If we have fellowship with him, if we say we have fellowship with him, but we remain in the darkness, in other words, the prevailing atmosphere of our life remains darkness, then we're lying. We're not in the truth. The truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We're getting at here the reason that we join together on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings and other times, Friday evenings, whatever times we gather, it's the truth. We need correct doctrine. It won't save us. We can speak correct doctrine, but we also need moral purity. We can speak correct doctrine but live morally impure. We need them both, truth and holiness. So he refers to both of them in our response and in our relationship with him. Have fellowship with this one, and we're told in other places, he will make us more like him. We are called to faithful obedience as a part of our fellowship as we walk with him. But we all know, and that's one of the things of coming in a night like this, and with a particular theme that I'm seeking to promote of our needs. Again, one of the things that I've said, and that I think we'll get to when we pray again corporately. But whenever we gather as God's people, we do bring loneliness, and we need his fellowship. We bring confusion. We bring the fact that we need to make decisions, and we need his wisdom. We bring physical sickness and need his healing. We all have those things in different degrees and different amounts, but we all share as being sinners, saved by grace and needing his forgiveness. And so as we all know that, well, we are those over in chapter 2. We are those that, on occasion, do sin. And so we have an advocate with the Father. We're told his blood, the cup represents his blood, which is the new covenant in his blood, shed for many for the remission of sins. And so he tells us, come and, well, verse 9, confess our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. F.F. Bruce gets it both sides of this. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. He's the essence of holiness, righteousness, goodness, and truth. In him is nothing unholy or unrighteous, evil or false. He revealed himself thus in the age of preparation before Christ came, And when the age of fulfillment dawned in Christ, this was the character of God as unveiled in Christ's life and was the light of men. But also, F.F. Bruce picks up on this next part, the fact that we do sin. And so what can we do when we face that fact? Well, when we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us, what John has in mind here is that cleansing of the conscience from guilt. Isn't that a wondrous thing? You know, the world outside of Christ at Christmas, all the lights, all the Christmas trees, all the eggnog everyone can drink, and I mean the heavy stuff, won't cleanse the conscience from guilt. But what John has in mind here is the cleansing of the conscience from guilt and from moral defilement, such as this talks about in the Hebrews. In Christ, we have his saving benefits and his self-sacrifice. He goes on to say, and I'll finish here with his quoting Dr. Bruce, "God makes provisions for men and women as sinners. When an honest person is confronted with the holiness of God, here's our provision. Lord, I've sinned. Will you forgive me?" So that's what Jesus offers at the table. A partaking of forgiveness. One last thing here. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. How can he be just? Well, because Jesus took our sins on himself and he gives us his righteousness. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As Martin Luther put it, the righteousness of Christ stands on our side. For God's righteousness is, in Jesus Christ, ours. Let me pray for us. Father, we pray even now, you would mend us. You would make us better than we could be without you. Take those things that are broken in our lives and visit us with your healing. And help us to use the strength that we receive in your service and to your glory. Now join me now as we go through a litany